Tuesday, March 5th, 5:39 in the p.m. as we broadcast live on both YouTube and Facebook. Appreciate you guys making us a part of your day on this episode. Scoring is up in the National Hockey League. We'll get into it. Somebody else is up in the National Hockey League. That would be the Carolina Hurricanes. They are on an absolute tear. All that and more on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Let's go. All right, excited to be here talking hockey with you guys on a Tuesday. Lots happening as we wrap up the general managers meetings down in Boca Raton, Florida. We've got a signing today. We've got some chirping to go over. And we've got a goalie comparison that kind of ties into the signing that kind of gets us into talking hockey on this Tuesday. If you have any questions, shoot them into the comments section. We'll get to them towards the end of the broadcast. Excited to be here talking with you guys. I like doing the general manager meetings because they're, you know, going over a lot of what we have in the rules as far as adjustments go. And we have a couple of proposals on some rule changes. And what I noticed this time around for the league, as opposed to in years past, is really a stark comparison where we were trying to fix the game and get the game into a place where scoring can be up. And there were pretty big major adjustments in all of that stuff in the game in years past. This year, they're like, hey, there's all little tiny adjustments, small, tiny adjustments, you know? And I think that's indicative of how much this game has really grown over the years. And the National Hockey League, I think, is in one of the absolute best places that it has ever been in. And that's thanks to the man that we like to boo every time he makes a public appearance, Gary Bettman. You can boo him all you want, and I know he's going to continue to get boos, but the fact of the matter is that Gary Bettman, probably more so than any other commissioner in the major sports in North America, has done an absolute 180 with this hockey league and has turned it into a very, very profitable organization. Are there still some issues here? Sure. We have issues in Ottawa. We have issues in Southern Florida. We have a lot of things all around, but we got a healthy league and we got scoring up and scoring up in a major way. Don't forget to follow the Hockey Talk Show on Facebook and YouTube. Make sure you guys hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Click the bell to get notifications. If you're listening on one of the podcast networks, tune in, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever it is, rate and review us on Apple. Give us a thumbs up, share us on Twitter. Make sure you guys spread the word. We do not do any advertising here on the Hockey Talk Show. The only way we get the word around is by you, our loyal and unbelievably great audience. So thank you for the continued patronage and experiences together here. And again, make sure you continue to spread the word for us all around. And if you're on Facebook, remember to like our posts, hit the share button. And remember to get our notifications. You want to see us in your timeline first. That's pretty important that you get notifications first. Go to the Hockey Talk Show page and just hover over the like button or the follow button and make sure you're getting our notifications first. That is super, super important, or else you're going to get lost in the mix. Before we dive into the general manager stuff, though, good posts from the Hockey Talk Show page earlier this afternoon. And that is, and I want to bring this up for everybody because this was a really, really nice moment and I forgot about it just prior to the start of the show. So I want to make sure we catch up on it here and get this up for you guys. Let me bring it up on the screen because this is actually super, super important that we mention this quickly off the beginning of the show here. Boom. Take a look at that. Take a look at that. The last Humboldt Bronco in the hospital has been released. 19-year-old Morgan Gobeil. Apologize to Morgan if I'm saying that last name wrong. He was hospitalized for, you ready for this? 333 days. Almost an entire year in the hospital. What that community has gone through, what that team has gone through. their losses and everything else, watching a country and a sport rally around them, it has all been tough. Nobody will ever forget what happened to this group of young individuals, but no doubt about it, this is definitely a chapter of closure here for them as Morgan gets out of the hospital 333 days after being admitted with that horrific, horrific crash. Unthinkable, especially for me, being a father of two. I can't even imagine what those parents in that community went through. But we're happy to see Morgan is out and hopefully get him back on the ice soon. All right, so let's go over this. NHL General Managers Meeting, let's talk about some of the proposed issues, but we start with the goal scoring averages. On average, goal scoring is up. It is up 3% from last season. It is up 10% from the 16-17 season and 13% from the 15-16 season. That is tremendous growth. Absolute tremendous growth. An average of 6.1 goals have been scored per game this season, the highest since the 05-06 season. That is a major, major increase. Also, the number of comeback wins is also on the rise this year, another sign of health for the game. 43% of the games through Sunday have featured a comeback, the second highest in NHL history. 35% of last season's games featured a comeback. Teams have erased a multi-goal deficit in 12% of the games this season, the highest percentage in NHL history. What does that mean? Anybody can win on any given night. Two-goal leads are deadly. Absolutely, completely, 100% deadly. If there's a lead I trust less, it is a two-goal lead in the National Hockey League. People are coming back from that all the time. All the time. 43%, almost half of the games won are in comeback style. I mean, if that doesn't tell you about the health of our game, I don't know what will. So let's talk about some of the rules that were proposed for change. They're pretty interesting. The first one, the major one that's going to make all the news is probably the helmet rule. The National Hockey League, interestingly enough, according to George Parros, the vice president of player safety, the National Hockey League is the only league in the world that doesn't penalize players for losing their helmet. So essentially what they're proposing here with this one is that if a player loses a helmet, he must immediately exit the ice. Much like if they break a stick, how they must immediately drop it. Now, if a player loses a helmet, they must immediately get off the ice or else they'll receive a penalty. This is something that is common in international play. And it looks like it's going to be something that the league is going to adapt. Now, what we're talking about today here on the show has to go before the NHLPA Competition Committee. Those cats meet by the Board of Governors during the Stanley Cup Finals. So what the general managers do is they look at the game, they analyze it, they say, okay, this is the rule changes we want to see, and then this will go to the Board of Governors for approval. The Players Association has to give their okay on it. That will all happen at the end of June during the Stanley Cup Finals. So these aren't rules that are hard in place. These are just rules that are being proposed for next season. Safety is obviously a huge issue, and I see nothing wrong with this. I don't think it's all that big of a deal. I'll tell you the rule proposal that I absolutely love. I really, really love this one. They want to propose a rule where a team that's starting a power play will get to choose which face-off circle they start in. Face-off circles are determined now by where the puck goes out of play or where the puck was last touched during play. Now, teams that are going on the power play will have their choice on which faceoff circle they want to take it in. That is a minor thing, but that's why I love it so much, because it's a minor thing that can have massive impacts. Think about this. Your center will be comfortable on either side of the ice. So that will help give them an advantage. Your defenseman, maybe. If you have a right shot, wants to sit center ice, or a left shot, you know, whoever your big gun is on the power play now, you'll get that first crack. You'll have an advantage going into that power play. So I think that will result in a jump in scoring. So I'm excited about that one probably the most. And I know it's a minor one, but it's going to be a big deal, especially when we probably will see, as a result of this, you know, a little bit of increase in scoring in the power play. GMs were also in favor of recommending a rule change to keep the faceoff in an end zone when a puck is shot out of play by an attacking player. The faceoff is now held outside of the end zone if a shot by the attacking team goes out of play without touching anything. Again, they want to keep the offensive flow of the game moving quickly. Speaking of flow, they're batting around, and this is not going to come out of this and go into competition committee. So it's not anything you have to worry about. But one of the other things that they were batting around was penalizing goalies for freezing the puck on a shot that comes from outside of the blue line. So if you're in the neutral zone and you shoot a puck in and you're getting some good offensive pressure, the goalie will have to play that puck and not freeze it. If he freezes it, it'll result in a penalty. It's an interesting concept. It won't go to the competition committee. I think it's a smidge radical, but it's something that is interesting to think about. Bat it around for a little bit, maybe throw it in the preseason, maybe throw it in an AHL preseason game to see how that sort of thing comes about. And then the other thing with goalies freezing the puck is they were talking about if a goalie freezes the puck, your team won't be able to make a change. That was one of the rules. I don't really care for that because now you're talking about player safety. If a player is absolutely gassed and a goalie freezes the puck, as is his right, unless it's outside the blue line like we just talked about, to me, there should be no reason why you can't freeze the puck whenever you want and you know, get your guys into a change. I don't see any reason why. You can get people hurt. If you're gassed, and you know that's when you're tired, that's when injuries happen. So I don't mind that. And I think there's a good amount of policing going on in the league already where refs will encourage a goalie to play the puck if he can. And if he can, he plays the puck, you know. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. So there are some of the interesting rule changes that we have coming up in the league. We'll grab some questions on YouTube and Facebook if you have them. I want to talk about Brad Marchand. I want to talk about Garrett Sparks getting an extension. Let's get into this because we also want to mention the Carolina Hurricanes. Rob has a great question here. How do you see the standings looking in the Metro at the end of the season? I have no idea, and anybody who says they do is absolutely lying. Odds are they have some snake oil for sale as well. But it's going to be the race of the year so far. It is going to be downright intriguing, and it leads us into one of the topics that I wanted to hit right now, Rob, which was the Carolina Hurricanes. They are on an absolute friggin' tear right now. The Hurricanes are on a tear. Take a look at this statistic. Carolina Hurricanes are 21-6-1 since December 30th. 21-6-1. Do you know the kind of hype the Carolina Hurricanes would have behind them if they started the season off 21-6-1? You're talking about Tampa Bay Lightning numbers here for the Carolina Hurricanes. This is sick. Sick numbers. 21-6-1. They've been outscoring opponents 105-68. Last in the division on December 30th, they now sit in third place, 3 points behind the New York Islanders, 5 points behind the first place Washington Capitals. This is disgustingly amazing on behalf of the Carolina Hurricanes. And as somebody that has been taking a dump on this team for the better part of a year and a half, I offer up my sincerest apologies to the Carolina Hurricanes franchise, owner Tom Dundon, head coach Rod Brindamore, and the general managers there and everybody. I mean, everybody. They've just done a tremendous job. And I think we have Don Cherry to thank for part of this, because clearly this started in December, but it was in February where Don Cherry called them a bunch of jerks, and they have done absolutely nothing but win in the face of Don Cherry's criticism. and they've embraced the jerks moniker. They refer to themselves as jerks. The broadcasters refer to them as a bunch of jerks. They have "We're a Bunch of Jerks" t-shirts that they wear all over the place. They have embraced the criticism. They have ridden their celebrations. They have even gotten, I was going to say Floyd Mayweather. What's his name? The boxer involved in the whole mix. Evander Holyfield. Evander Holyfield came one night, I think it was a couple nights ago, and knocked out one of the players. I forget which player. And they dragged the player off the ice. That was their post-game celebration. They're getting even more creative. They're getting even more outlandish. And they're just winning more and more games. Credit Rod Brind'Amour. I'm not a fan of first-year coaches. He has done a phenomenal job. An absolute phenomenal job. I have been awfully critical of Don Waddell in a major way. I do not think he's a good general manager. I think he's a great evaluator of talent. I think he's made some poor team decisions in the past. He was never able to get the Atlanta Thrashers off the ground, even though he had multiple opportunities, even though he had Ilya Kovalchuk and a lot of great first-round picks and Marian Hossa and a lot of people running through that organization. He was never able to produce a winner and had more than ample opportunities to do so. And he just never could get it done. He reluctantly accepted this job down there in Carolina. He was an advisor who took the role after they literally couldn't find anybody else that could put up with their owner, Tom Dundon. But now look at them. They are making me eat crow, and I am proud to do so. Proud to gloat when I'm right. Proud to, not so proud, but we'll eat the crow when I'm wrong. And I was wrong about the Carolina Hurricanes. 21-6-1 since December 30th, outscoring opponents 105-68. Don Waddell will probably not get a lot of praise for some of the minor moves that he's made, but there's no doubt about it. Bringing in Nito Niederreiter has been a huge help to this team's offense. It shifted their focus on their lines. They were able to open up a lot more ice. When you bring in a scorer, a natural score like a Nino Niederreiter, you're going to see a difference, even if he's not producing directly. And I think he's done an absolute tremendous job since coming in. Him with Aho and Justin Williams seems to really work. And if there's a player that I can really credit here, it's good old number 14, because he has done an outstanding job. And this team, Jordan Staal, Michael Furlan, Teuvo Teravainen, Brock McGinn, they're all following. Svechnikov, let's not forget Andrei Svechnikov, second-round pick, I think he was. Second to overall pick, has done a tremendous job. And they're following their captain's basically rate of play, because really Justin Williams is a playoff end-of-the-year performer, and now that's what his franchise is doing. They are following suit with good old Justin Williams, and I expect nothing but good things from the Carolina Hurricanes down the stretch. I think they're going to be something to contend with, and the flash and all the big moves and everything else, pushing it all in that the Columbus Blue Jackets did, well, they're on the outside looking in as of right now. They're 2 points behind the Montreal Canadiens. They have a game in hand on them, but they are on the outside looking in right now. Now, the season doesn't end today. There's a lot of hockey still to go. A lot of teams, 15, 16, 17 games still left in the season. There's a lot of season left to go. But the Metro Division is going to be the most exciting division down the stretch. This is going to be the race to watch. And by the way, Columbus, Montreal, the New York Islanders, they're all sliding. And this is not the time of year that you want to slide. Isles laid an egg against the Philadelphia Flyers the other day. They did not look good. Well, they looked okay, but they wound up losing the game. They're losing more games than not. The Islanders are 4-5-1 in their last 10. The Montreal Canadiens are 4-6-0. Columbus Blue Jackets also 4-6-0. So the Metropolitan Division, if you're like a fan of the game and you just like watching the game, especially like if you're a fan of the Tampa Bay Lightning, I mean, you've been bored for 4 months. You've been bored of winning. if you're looking for some competition here, if you're looking for some excitement, you're going to be watching the Metropolitan Division games, because that's where the intense playoff race is going to come for down the stretch here, with just a handful of team games with the 2019 season here. So that's the exciting part about all this. Carolina has heated up. They are on fire. 21-6-1 since December. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Caps are turning it on. That's what great teams do. They know when to turn it on. Caps are turning it on. They're 7-3 in their last 10. You got to be worried if you're an Islander fan, if you're a fan of the Montreal Canadiens, and you got to be really worried if you're a fan of the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's not that big of a deal that you're on the outside looking in right now, but your moves haven't really sparked anything. You still have the potential of having a lot of people walk away from your team at the end of this year, pushing all your chips all in and getting absolutely nothing in return. We're coming down to the home stretch of the Hockey Talk Show here, so if you got a question, throw it in the comments right now. I'll make sure we get to it before the end of the show. Let's tie into the Hurricanes and one of the other reasons why they're doing so very well. And that would be this gentleman right here, Curtis McElhinney. Besides Nino Niederreiter, besides their scoring, their coaching, Justin Williams, their leadership, and everything else, take a look at this guy. 25 games played so far this season. He is 17-7 with a 2.2 goals against average. 9.23 save percentage, 2 shutouts. Not flashy whatsoever. Curtis has never been over the course of his career. He's 35 years old, and he is guiding this team into a playoff spot. Perhaps Kyle Dubas isn't the genius that everybody thought that he was. Because if we compare to Garrett Sparks, who he just gave a big fat contract extension to, I mean, it wasn't fat, it was $750,000 for another year, he is not doing as well. 14 games played, 13 starts, 7-5. He's got a 309 goals against average and a 902 save percentage. 1 shutout under his belt. Garrett Sparks has not been good. Ask any Toronto Maple Leaf fan. They absolutely hate him. I don't know if the Leafs hate anybody on their franchise as much as they hate Garrett Sparks. They hate them some Garrett Sparks. They are not fans over there in Toronto. And Toronto, I think for the most part, completely loves their franchise right now. I mean, you got to be excited if you're a Maple Leaf. I caution you guys because your defense sucks. But you pulled in John Tavares. Dubas was able to get Nylander under contract. These are all great things moving in the right direction. You've got a great goaltender with what's his name. You know, so it's an exciting time to be a Maple Leafs fan. And there's a lot to get behind because Barry Kapanen's been playing lights out. You know, Connor Brown, great player. Everybody's been contributing except for Garrett Sparks. Nobody likes Garrett Sparks north of the border. He's the frustrating guy. And now Kyle Dubas just handed him a 1-year extension. I don't think it's a good move. I think Dubas is doubling down. I don't think it's a horrific move. It's not going to define Kyle Dubas's general managership of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it's definitely one of his missteps, and he's doubling down on it. And by the way, he's 25 years old, and he got a 1-year extension. So this is essentially Garrett's last chance to acclimate himself to the National Hockey League and acclimate himself to the National Hockey League in a backup role. But back to positivity. Curtis McElhinney, who the Leafs let go, 17-7, 2.24 goals against average. Could you imagine how great the Maple Leafs would be? And by the way, they're 41-21 on the season. They got a great record, 86 points. Could you imagine how great they really would be if they had this cat in the lineup? Because Garrett Sparks has lost a lot. He has not played well, and he's a bit of a morale killer, I think. You know, one of the big criticisms of Mike Babcock so far this year was playing Garrett Sparks in John Tavares' return to the Nassau Coliseum. He caught a lot of guff for that, and rightfully so. I was surprised when I saw Garrett Sparks on that lineup sheet. I thought, you're starting Garrett Sparks on a game like this? Like, this is an important one to win. This is an important one for John Tavares. And they threw Sparks in there, and he did not look good whatsoever. He really didn't look good. Bad move, if you ask me. Let's stay on the Leafs. Because, and you might be thinking, Ant, it's a little strong criticism, McElhinney and Dubé, all this stuff. Yeah, but you know what? If Toronto would have been a little bit better, I mean, I don't know if they would have caught Tampa. That's actually kind of crazy to say, but if they would have been playing a little bit better, who knows? They maybe would have guaranteed themselves home ice against Boston, because that's going to be tough. Or I don't know. Maybe their trajectory would have been a little bit different. Maybe they would have gotten away from Boston. I don't know. Maybe they would have. But speaking of Boston and Toronto, take a look at this. NHL Public Relations sent out a tweet earlier this afternoon. Mitch Marner became the eighth player in Maple Leafs franchise history to require 66 or fewer games to reach the 80-point mark. All right, not bad. Pretty normal. Average run-of-the-mill NHL stat, hashtag NHL stats. Not too bad, right? Why are you bringing it up, Ant? Seems kind of boring. Well, take a look at the first responder. One and only Brad Marchand. And he tweeted, I can't wait to see this kid's new deal. $12 million AAV? It better be. Hashtag Marner Watch. Now, I'm not the biggest Brad Marchand fan. If you listen to the Hockey Talk Show, you know that. But I am going to stand up and tip my cap to number 37 here, because this was the move of all moves. Does he wear 37? Oh, no, 63. 37 is Bergeron. This was the troll of all troll moves. This is Brad Marchand being an agitator to the fullest. You talk about good agitators in the game, this kid's one of the best. Now, I don't like the licking and all that stuff. It's ridiculous. I feel like the NHL has a huge soft spot when it comes to this guy, and I don't know why. His play's been disgusting over the years. They're not as hard on him as they should be. But I will give this guy credit where credit is due. He knows that the Leafs and the Bruins are meeting first round. He knows the Bruins beat them last time. He knows this series is going to go to seven games, and he has started his chirping already. And if you think that Marner's contract is not a sensitive, sore subject in the Maple Leafs locker room, you're crazy. You are crazy. From Tavares signing to Nylander's holdout, 34, Matthews has been the easiest part about all of this, which is surprising, but don't think that people aren't a little weirded out by his 5 years and not eight. Now can they get Mitch Marner under contract? Brad Marchand went right for it, man, and I give him all the credit in the world. By the way, mark my words, Tuesday, March 5th, 6:08 p.m. at the time of the broadcast of this show here, 34, Austin Matthews will be an Arizona Coyote by the time this 5-year deal is over. Austin Matthews is going to do to the Toronto Maple Leafs what John Tavares did to the New York Islanders. And that is not coming from a sore. By the way, I'm not sour about the Tavares leaving anymore. I'm really not. But that is not coming from the New York Islander fan, your old pal Ant. This is coming from a broadcast professional calling it as I see it, fair and balanced hockey talk show / podcast host. I would say this if I was a fan of the Rangers or a fan of the Florida Panthers. Austin Matthews leaves at the end of this 5-year deal to go back to the Arizona Coyotes. And you know what? He should. It will be great for the game. It will be not as important as Wayne Gretzky going to the LA Kings, but it will be great for the game of hockey, because you want a healthy franchise in Arizona. It's important to the landscape of the league. And you always want to see your star kind of come home. I never faulted John Tavares for leaving the Islanders for the Maple Leafs. And I'm not mad about it. I wouldn't have been mad about it if the Islanders were in last place. Stars want to go and play wherever they want to play, they have the absolute right to. They'll catch a lot of garbage for it from the Leafs fans, which is, you know, similar to what John went through with the Islander fans. Maple Leafs fans criticize Islander fans. Let's see how the Maple Leafs will be just as horrible to Austin Matthews when he leaves. But mark my words, there is absolutely no reason for a five-year deal. It's very, very telling, to me, at least. And I think this kid is a proud Arizona kid. I really, really do. And I think it's great for the game if he wants to go back. And believe you me, even though Austin Matthews is amazing, you have John Tavares, you have William Nylander for 7 years. You will hopefully, if Kyle Dubas plays his cards right, have Mitch Marner for a long time. You won't even miss the guy. You're going to have a great team for years and years to come. But I just think that that kid's going back to Arizona. I think that's where his heart is. I think he likes playing in Toronto. I think he wants to win a championship. He told Tavares he was going to stay, and he did. He signed the extension, not 8 years, but five. Gives himself a little bit more free agency. He'll make a little bit more money. He'll maybe be a max contract. Who the hell knows? But it'll be great for Arizona. And thus, it'll be great for the game. As soon as I saw 5 years, I went, that kid's going to Arizona at the end of that deal. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But anyway, back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're going to have a lot to contend with Brad Marchand, and he's chirping them already. And you, again, him throwing this out there, you know, maybe they're not discussing it. Maybe it's not being talked about in the locker room, but you better believe the trainers are whispering about it. The players maybe on their way into the rink, driving into the rink together, they're talking about it. They're talking about it with their wives. It's a little bit of a sore subject because during the Nylander discussions, if you're not familiar with this, and during the Austin Matthews discussions, Mitch Marner's dad did some interviews. Other people did some interviews. There was some discussion about it of why is Mitch Marner being left for last? Why should Mitch Marner take less than John Tavares? Why should he take less than Austin Matthews? These were some of the discussions going around. Why shouldn't number 16 be considered for the captaincy? He would make a great captain. These were some of the things that were going around. And it's important and worth noting. And Brad Marchand knows that. And he's trying to put that little wedge in there and put it on people's minds for the Toronto Maple Leafs because he knows these cats are meeting in a 7-game series for sure, first round of the playoffs. Other cool thing to note with the Carolina Hurricanes, tonight they're up in Boston playing the Bruins. They will be sporting the old Hartford Whaler jerseys. I love these jerseys. I think they look phenomenal. I love the fact that the Hurricanes agreed to wear them not just for 1 but 2 games so that they could wear them at home when they play the Boston Bruins and then on the road when they play the Bruins. You better believe there's going to be a lot of Connecticut people in the stands tonight. A lot of Hartford Whaler fans in the stands tonight that bought a ticket for this game specifically so they can see their Hartford Whalers jerseys back on the ice in the Northeast. Class move on the part of the Hurricanes. Class move on the part of the NHL and the Bruins for allowing such a thing to happen and take place. I really love this move. I'm going to watch some of this game tonight if I can. Got the Islanders game I want to catch up on as well. But I'm going to make it a point to get some of this game in tonight because I love this jersey. And I really want to see how it looks on the Whalers tonight. Whalers / Hurricanes. And, you know, again, an amazing run for the Hurricanes right now. Amazing run. This is going to be a good game tonight. This is going to be a hell of a clash. A hell of a clash. All right, last chance for comments. Throw them in the comments section, and then we'll get to the picks for this evening. Adam, Matthews has been a good ambassador for Arizona hockey, playing so well in Toronto. As much as I want him back here in Arizona, I don't see it happening. I absolutely see it happening, Adam. End of the 5-year deal. I don't think he goes anytime sooner. I mean, maybe there's a scenario where he gets traded in the last season, but even then, I don't see that happening. I don't really see that happening. I see the Leafs holding on to him all the way through. I think there's a good chance that Toronto Maple Leafs can win a cup over the next couple of years, especially if they beef up their defense. But I think that Austin wants to play there. I do. And, you know, when you look at the career of a National Hockey League player, and John Tavares is a good example of this. You know, John Tavares is a really, really good example of this. You get drafted by a franchise, you have to go. They literally own you for the first 6 years of your career. I mean, there's no two ways about it. They have your rights for 3 years, then they can sign you to a three-year entry level. So worst case scenario, you're 6 years into an organization. You're drafted when you're 18, 19. So by the time your 6 years is up, if you didn't sign an extension off your first, if you signed an entry-level deal right away, then you're 21, 22 by the time you get a first chance to get a crack at a contract. Maybe you sign a five-year deal or whatever it is. So you're into your mid-20s, mid to late 20s, no matter what, going into an opportunity to sign potentially your last big deal. You know, a lot of players really only get one. Some of them get two paydays, but a lot of players only get one big payday. They only get one real chance to go. But I think if you're a player as good as Austin Matthews and as good as John Tavares, when you get your chance, you know you're staring at a 14, 15, 16-year career, especially if you're starting at 18, 19 years old. So it's not that big of a deal because of free agency and the way the league is structured with entry-level contracts. It's not that big of a deal to go somewhere and play for a little while. Because if you're Austin Matthews, and you have the prime example in John Tavares, you're looking at this going, I can stay here with the Leafs. I can give them 5 years more of my life. I love it. It's a great organization. Everybody loves him. I'm sure he hasn't paid for a drink or a meal in that town since he's gotten there, right? He's being admired to the umpteenth degree. I mean, it's a great situation. Why would you leave? So he gets in there, entry-level deal, five-year extension, 8 years. By the time he's done with this deal, he's going to be, I believe, in his late 20s, right? I don't think he's, we'll go to cap-friendly so we're not spouting out misinformation here. I'm not fake news. This is the hockey talk show, damn it. We should be taken seriously. We're a serious news-delivering organization. We're not. We goof off and we talk hockey here. We don't break news, damn it. Let's see. Austin Matthews, he's on his last year of an entry-level deal. 5 year extension. How old is he? He was born in 1997. So he's 21. Then kicks in next year. So he'll be 27, 26, 27, 28. He's in that range. He could literally sign another 8 year deal, 7 year deal. Well, 7 year deal if he's switching teams, 6 year deal, 5 year deal, whatever the hell it is, you know, with the team of his choice. So if I'm Austin Matthews, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm going to stay here in Toronto. I'm going to get my crack at a championship. I got John Tavares, I got William Nylander. I'm in a great situation. I'm in a great market where they love me. I'm getting huge numbers. Good chance at winning a Stanley Cup, right? And then when all's said and done, whether he wins it or not, or whatever the case may be, he can go home and play at home. What I'm saying is good players like Tavares and Austin Matthews and some of these guys, they're going to have an opportunity to play wherever they want. They're going to have their cake and eat it too. They're going to have the best of both worlds. They're going to have a chance to play wherever they want, and they're going to have a chance to play for a championship. Look at Matt Duchene. He sort of did it in the opposite order. He wanted to be a Colorado Avalanche. Like, that's where he wanted to be. He was a fan of the team growing up. That was his spot. So he kind of got to play exactly where he wanted to play first, and now he wants to play for a winner, you know? It's just a different trajectory. It's just the other side of it. I think most players want to win. And then once they win, they want to kind of go wherever. Now, if Austin doesn't win, and 5 years from now the Leafs are on the verge of winning, still winning a Stanley Cup championship, just look at how long the San Jose Sharks have been hanging around, look how long it took Ovechkin and the Caps to win, maybe he stays then. Maybe he stays. But I think if you see them win a championship or do really well, or maybe regardless, I'm not really sure. My odds are feeling is that Austin Matthews walks eventually. I just think he does. I just think he wants to play in Arizona. And I think it's a great story, and I think it's a great moment for the National Hockey League. If this kid, who is top three, four, five players in the game, decides to go back home. If you love the free agent talk, you got to stick around on the Hockey Talk Show. Again, make sure you guys are subscribed on Facebook, subscribed on YouTube. You're following our posts on social, on Twitter, and everything else, because the free agency period this year with the amount of restricted free agents is just insane. And I think we're going to see some offer sheets handed out, and I think we're going to see some big trades before offer sheets can be handed out. I think we're going to see a lot of movement in our potential free agents. We're going to do a whole show and breakdown on the upcoming RFAs towards the end of the season, probably after the Stanley Cup Finals. And we're really going to dive into it because I think this is going to be an offseason filled with a ton of moves, a ton of moves. Thanks for the questions. Carolina and Boston tonight. Give me the Carolina Hurricanes on the road in the Hartford Whalers uniforms. I think they're going to be feeling it. They're going to look really good. Columbus and the Devils tonight from the Rock at 7. You have got to win this game if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets. Devils are down in the standings. They're clearly out of it. You're on the outside looking in. You have got to make this happen if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets. Same goes for the New York Islanders. You're at home taking on the Ottawa Senators. You have no excuse. Joshua Hosang called up emergency recall. Michael Dal Colle called up emergency recall. And by the way, Islander fans, stop complaining about Joshua Hosang not being in the lineup. If Barry Trotz doesn't think he's ready for the lineup, or Lou Lamoriello doesn't think he's ready for the lineup, he's not ready for the lineup. And that's all there is to it. He's got every opportunity to earn himself a roster spot starting with tonight. Play good on both sides of the puck. Be undeniable, and you won't be able to be sent down. There is a roster spot on the New York Islanders. I don't think Andrew Ladd is a lock. Michael Dal Colle has been in that spot. And now that you have fourth liners out, you have a real opportunity. Because when that fourth line, Cizikas, Martin, and Clutterbuck comes back, I think they would scratch Ladd to put in a Hosang or a Dal Colle if they're playing good enough and they're worth it. You can earn it. It will be nobody's fault but number 26 if he goes back down again. Give me the Islanders at home. I think they bounce back. Give me Pittsburgh against the Florida Panthers. Winnipeg and Tampa might be the game to watch tonight. That might be the good one. That is going to be a hell of a matchup. Could be a Stanley Cup final preview. Give me the Tampa Bay Lightning, though. Give me Nashville over Minnesota. I don't love the Minnesota Wild. I think they're in that weird Rangers pre-tear-it-all-down stage, Chicago-y, are we in it, are we not in it sort of stage. I don't love the Minnesota Wild. Last wild card spot right now, just 2 points of an advantage over the Arizona Coyotes, just 3 ahead of the Colorado Avalanche. And Arizona has a game in hand there. I don't love the Minnesota Wild in this scenario, and I don't love them for tonight. Give me the Nashville Predators at home. That's the NBC national game here in the States. Rangers at Dallas. Give me the Dallas Stars. Give me the Colorado Avalanche against the Detroit in the Who Really Cares game. Give me Arizona over Anaheim at home there. And give me the Montreal Canadiens against the Kings. I think they'll have a really good showing tonight. Montreal, again, one of the teams, along with the Islanders, along with the Columbus Blue Jackets, that have been on a little bit of a skid lately. I think we'll see a little bit of a rebound from the Canadiens tonight in Los Angeles. Los Angeles stinks. This is a prime opportunity for them to get back in it. That's the show for this Tuesday night. So glad to be back here with you guys again. Make sure you're spreading the word. Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And don't forget, we're at HockeyTalkShow.com. That's HockeyTalkShow.com. Available on all the podcast networks. Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Have a great night. We'll see you guys.